Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
We are in support of our rights as Americans. We support our sister Kim in Christ and her beliefs. You know, that's all it is.
Mount Sterling Minister Penny Stinnett was in Moorhead today to support Rallin County Clerk Kim Davis and her choice not to issue marriage licenses following a controversial Supreme Court ruling.
Carter Countyans are again battling high water.
And the Maysville woman is charged with multiple counts of identity theft and forgery.
In sports, the U.S. women's soccer team celebrates its first World Cup since 1999.
But Luke has the stocks.
It'll be mostly clear tonight with a slight chance of showers and lows in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Congressman John Yarmuth thinks county clerks in Kentucky who refuse to issue marriage licenses following the Supreme Court's ruling legalizing gay marriage are shirking their responsibilities. The Louisville Democrat made the comment in an interview with CN2's Pure Politics.
It's kind of like if you were a police officer, you join the police force, and then you said, oh, by the way, I'm a Quaker. I don't want to carry a gun or a baton because I don't believe in violence. I mean, they wouldn't remain in the police force very long.
Yarmuth says any clerk who declines to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples should resign. Rowan's clerk Kim Davis has decided not to issue any marriage licenses following the Supreme Court's ruling. Davis cites the Kentucky Constitution and her religious beliefs in doing so. The American Civil Liberties Union has brought suit against Davis, claiming she has a duty to administer the law.
Rowan clerk Kim Davis says she's been bolstered by all the support she's received as she continues to refuse to issue marriage licenses. Davis took the action last week in response to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to permit same-sex marriage in all 50 states. While she faces a lawsuit by the ACLU, Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway has threatened to charge Davis with official misconduct and seek her removal from office. Davis, who said she won't resign, says she's gotten calls and emails from backers from around the country and the world.
And it just is very humbling when people call and they, you know, it's just, I love it. I love that God's people are rallying and they're coming together. And, you know, if this is what it takes to get a revival going in this country, then that's what it'll be.
Davis says she decided to suspend the issuance of marriage licenses for both straight and gay couples in order to avoid discrimination.
Dozens of demonstrators are still protesting outside the Rowan County Courthouse, offering different views on Clerk Kim Davis's decision not to issue marriage licenses to same-sex or heterosexual couples. Shannon Collins wants Davis to resign her post. She says she'll continue demonstrating until the issue is resolved.
I feel that her role as a government official, she needs to do her job. And by not permitting anyone to marry, she's breaking the law and not doing her job. So she needs to be removed. I would hope that we would all be able to represent until it's all cleared up, until people are free to marry all people, straight, gay, everybody, bisexual, as long as it takes.
Mount Sterling Minister Penny Stinnett is backing the Rowan County clerk. She says people have traveled from all over the state to support Kim Davis.
We are in support of our rights as Americans. We support our sister Kim in Christ and her beliefs. You know, that's all it is. It's not about offending anyone or going against what they want to do. I mean, that's their life. If they want to do whatever, that's their choice. God gives us that choice in his love, you know. But as far as constitutional rights as an American, she has rights just as well as anybody else does.
The lawsuit brought by the American Civil Liberties Union was filed in U.S. District Court in Ashland last week and seeks an injunction against Davis.
A 30-year-old Maysville woman has been charged with 52 counts of identity theft and forgery. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that Emily Fletcher turned herself in to police last Thursday and was taken to the Mason County Detention Center, but was later released on bail. Police say Fletcher is a former employee of Cash Express and took out fraudulent loans in the names of former customers. They say she worked for Cash Express for about 2 years, but was fired last month for an unrelated incident.
A Northern Kentucky man who called 911 saying his girlfriend repeatedly banged her own head on a window has been charged with murder in her death. The Kentucky Inquirer reports that Daniel Vetter of Union called police last month and told dispatchers he was outside when the woman began banging her head on a window. 27-year-old Miranda Hobbs died after the June 4th incident. Investigators with the Boone County Sheriff's Office say there were unusual circumstances surrounding the incident. Vetter told police the two had been drinking that morning, and Hobbs began hitting her head when he was outside on the phone. The 33-year-old is held in the Kenton County Detention Center, where he was already serving a sentence for a DUI conviction.
Parts of Carter County are once again contending with high water following heavy rains last weekend. However, Judge Executive Mike Malone says the situation could have been much worse, especially in Olive Hill.
If it had rained much longer, it would have been pretty bad. But as it was, I'm not aware of any buildings that, some basements got water in them and some garages got water in them. But like in downtown Olive Hill, if it rained another half an hour, there would have been a lot of the businesses in downtown Olive Hill that had water in them. It got within like 2 inches of getting in.
Malone says damage has been limited to soil erosion and washed out culverts. More than 500 homes in Carter County, mostly in the Willard and Hitchens communities, were damaged or destroyed by flooding in April.
Kentucky Division of Water Quality Director Peter Goodman says there's good news and bad news when it comes to providing safe drinking water in eastern Kentucky. The good news, he says, is that 95% of Kentucky's population is served by public water systems. Goodman says the bad news is that problems with those systems last winter caused 80,000 boil water advisories, and most of them were in eastern Kentucky.
Because of the infrastructure challenges of running small rural water agency, rural water utilities in mountainous areas, it's very difficult, very challenging.
At one point last winter, Goodman says 40,000 Kentuckians were without water. He says there are 446 public water systems in the Commonwealth. Goodman testified last week before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Natural Resources and the Environment.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul has become the first major party candidate for president to raise campaign money from proponents of legalized marijuana. The story from Suzanne Duvall.
The Kentucky senator hosted a private fundraiser put on by the National Cannabis Industry Association with a minimum donation of $2,700 to attend. In public remarks after the fundraiser, Paul didn't mention marijuana and didn't take questions from most reporters. He also declined to answer whether he would have voted in favor of Colorado's recreational marijuana legalization, saying only that the federal government ought to stay out of it. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
AK Steel has broken ground on a new $36 million research center. It's being built in Middletown, Ohio, and is projected to be completed by the end of 2016. Eric Peterson is the firm's vice president for research and innovation. He says the 135,000-square-foot facility will house 76 scientists, researchers, and engineers.
The new center will feature some of AK Steel's stainless steel products as part of the exterior design. We have a number of new pieces of equipment that we're bringing in that will be incorporated into the building for improved testing, design, modeling of new technologies and products. The Research and Innovation Center also houses pilot lines. These pilot lines actually simulate our company's steel manufacturing operations.
Peterson says the center will showcase AK's products and technologies and highlight its heritage of steel making. AK's Ashland plant employs about 800 people.
Kentucky's largest electric utility says a new natural gas power generating unit has gone online and is the first of its kind in the state. Louisville Gas and Electric says that the 640-megawatt unit at its Cane Run generating station in western Louisville is up and running. It replaces coal-burning units at the plant, which were built in the 1950s. The unit generates electricity with gas turbines and then recycles exhaust heat to produce steam and additional power. The Tennessee Valley Authority is installing a similar gas-powered turbine at its Paradise Fossil Plant in Drakesboro, Kentucky. LG&E says the Cane Run project came in at about $18 million under the projected cost of $563 million.
The volatility of the Greek economy could have an indirect impact on Kentucky, though not a very significant one. That's according to an economics professor at the University of Kentucky. Ken Trosky says Greece is not a major player in the Kentucky economy.
The biggest trading partners we have in Kentucky are Canada and Mexico, but there's a fair amount number of goods in Kentucky that go to Europe. You know, to the extent that the euro continues to decline in value, that makes our goods more expensive, and so, you know, the effect is probably going to be minimal, but we could see some impact.
Trosky says the Greek people last weekend rejected a proposal to refinance the national debt, causing more uncertainty about that country's economic future.
With the new fiscal year underway, a pair of local governments in Kentucky have raised taxes to cover rising costs. More from KNN.
Pike County and Owensboro are on opposite sides of the state, but local officials in each area have raised taxes. Pike Fiscal Court imposed a 1% occupational tax and a 1% business net profit tax. Judge Executive Bill Deskin says it was either raise taxes or shut down all services. In Owensboro, the City Commission imposed a slight increase in its occupational and net profits taxes as well. That money will keep a golf course open and cover the cost of its commitment to build the International Bluegrass Music Center. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
A Western Kentucky fish processing company that sells the invasive Asian carp is hoping more Kentuckians will try the fish, which is plentiful in Kentucky Lake and Lake Barkley. Two Rivers Fisheries ships the fish to restaurants in major cities, including St. Louis, Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York. The Paducah Sun reports the carp processing company and the fish market opened in Wickliffe in 2013. The firm calls its carp Kentucky Whitefish. Angie Yu is the owner and president of Two Rivers Fisheries. She says the carp have been eaten in Asia for thousands of years, but there's a stigma on the product with American diners. The fish are bony, she says, so they must be prepared properly.
The Humane Society of the United States is objecting to a proposal that would expand bear hunting in Kentucky because the group says that the population is still too small. State wildlife officials disagree. They say the number of bears in Kentucky has grown and the population can withstand increased hunting. The Humane Society contends that the bear population needs more time. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the state's population is currently at about 350 bears. Last year, 21 bears were killed during the hunting season. Under the proposed changes, the state would permit 35 bears, or up to 20 female bears, to be killed during the season. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy. You can see patchy, dense valley fog towards dawn. A 20% chance of showers later on and lows around 68 degrees. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with patchy valley fog early, showers likely, and a 60% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 85 degrees. For tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 60% chance of rain again and lows in the upper 60s. On Wednesday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs around 82. That night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain, patchy valley fog developing towards dawn, and lows again around 68. On Thursday, it'll be partly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and highs in the lower 80s. It's currently sitting at 82 in Ashland. It's also 82 degrees in Flemingsburg, 76 in Inez, 81 in Winchester, and 82 degrees here in Moorhead.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it is awfully nice to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Moorhead State University professor Dr. Chris Schrader. He wonders if the growing obsession with being inoffensive is harming the free exchange of thought.
It seems a lot of people are offended these days by symbols, words, and even by thoughts that are never uttered. And in most cases, the offended will demand with a fever pitch that whatever it is that offends them be removed, struck down, or otherwise done away with. The awful, deplorable tragedy that took place in South Carolina a few weeks ago has preempted the Confederate flag being taken down from flying over the state capitol. Walmart and other stores have gone so far as to remove any item bearing the stars and bars from its stores because they don't want to offend their consumers. University students, delicate flowers that they are given safe spaces and, here it comes, trigger warnings so that they might be warned that they might be offended, and should the offense prove too much for their delicate sensitivities to bear, they have a place to go, replete with pillows, soothing music, and YouTube videos of puppies. A lesbian couple in Canada asked a jeweler to make rings for their nuptials. The man agreed and served them with courtesy and professionalism. They loved the rings, but later came to find out that the man who made them personally did not approve of gay marriage. So what did the couple do? Well, they demanded a refund, of course, a breaking of the contract they made with the jeweler, because they were offended by what he thought, even though those thoughts were never uttered directly to the couple in question. It seems everyone has a reason to be offended these days. But perhaps you haven't heard of Zandria Robinson, a professor at the University of Memphis, who recently tweeted that the South Carolina shooter was an example of, quote, white people acting how they're conditioned to act. Will somebody find me a safe space, because I am offended. In case you haven't had the pleasure of meeting me, I happen to be white, and if that weren't enough, I'm also male. But I have never once in my life felt like I have been conditioned in any way to bear ill will towards African Americans. I haven't wanted to hurt them or insult them. I haven't even wanted to be rude or condescending to them. Truth is, I know a lot of white people, and I'm pretty sure they all feel the same way. To say that I have been conditioned to act in a way that would lead me to murder blacks, or anyone for that matter, in cold blood because of my, quote, whiteness, is extremely offensive to me, and to a lot of people for that matter. College professors across the country are living in fear of offending their students during the course of what used to be referred to as open and honest debate, thus the prevalence of these ridiculous trigger warnings. It was one of the characteristics of college that made universities across America thrive, the exposure to differing ideas, viewpoints, and opinions. Almost by definition, some of these opinions are going to be offensive to some of the population. And if we're now going to get in the business of seeking retribution for the thoughts that offend us, even if those thoughts aren't uttered, well, we've got some issues to deal with. Luckily for me, I'm a math professor, so I've not yet had to issue a trigger warning for an upcoming topic, and have not, to my knowledge, offended any students in the course of solving a math problem, although having them calculate a triple integral has no doubt come close. Professor Robinson's job is funded by taxpayers, some of whom are offended. What should we do about that? I'm Chris Schrader.
Dr. Schrader is an associate professor of mathematics at Morehead State University. 4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news from All Things Considered at 5 o'clock. And Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Shrine Club and Grayson Tourism, hosting the 25th annual Shriners Bluegrass Festival, July 16th through 18th in Olive Hill, Kentucky. 3 days of bluegrass music with Larry Sparks, Ronnie Reno and Reno Tradition, Ralph Stanley II, Tommy Webb, Dale Ann Bradley, Hammertown, Hazel Holler Band, and more. Camping, food vendors, and cover tent at stage area. Tickets and more information at 606-286-4611 and online at ShrinersBluegrassFestival.com.
Americans soak in their victory. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The United States women's national soccer team is fresh off of its World Cup final victory last night against Japan and Canada. The win was an emotional one, as the U.S. captured its first World Cup crown since 1999. Team captain Carly Lloyd is on cloud nine, knowing that the team's hard work finally paid off. She spoke with CBS this morning.
We've had dreams of our own. We've had struggles. We've been cut from teams. And we've still all managed to get here to this point. And, I think it's just an amazing accomplishment.
The ladies in red, white, and blue scored 12 goals in this year's World Cup. An Eastern Kentucky high school football star will be playing his college ball close to home. Chuck Mraz reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, Paintsville's Cash Daniel says he's headed to the University of Kentucky in the fall of 2016. The Wildcats outpaced Louisville and South Carolina for the linebacker services. With no Division I offers on the table, Daniel reportedly put himself on recruiters' wish lists with an eye-popping performance at the Best of the Midwest Combine in February. Last season, the 6'3", 230-pound Daniel totaled 180 tackles and had four interceptions. As a quarterback, he piled up over 2,000 yards in rushing and passing. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
Two Eastern Kentucky University football players who were suspended after fighting have been reinstated to the team. The school said in a statement that junior offensive lineman Colton Scurry of Fayetteville, Georgia, and junior defensive lineman Patrick Graffrey of Elizabethtown were reinstated to the team. The statement said the players met all university, athletic department, and team requirements. Scurry and Graffrey were suspended after incidents in January with players from the University of Kentucky. Scurry's father, Jeff Scurry, told the Courier-Journal in Louisville earlier that his son was injured. In April, a Madison County grand jury declined to indict anyone involved in the fight. The Morehead State football team's new offensive coordinator hopes to follow in the footsteps of his predecessor. After spending the last couple of years as MSU's offensive line coach, Patrick St. Louis was named last month to take over for Craig Mullins, who passed away in May after a battle with cancer. St. Louis says he's learned some things from Mullins in the short time the two men worked together.
Ton of different things. One big thing was always remain positive about things, you know, and don't worry about the things you can't control, and, you know, just work hard and be positive with the kids, and they're going to react positively, and that's going to end up with success in the long run.
St. Louis says he doesn't plan to change much of the offensive playbook put together by Mullins. Losers of three straight and now eight games under 500, the Cincinnati Reds open a series tonight at 7:05 in Washington against the Nationals. It's the final action for the Reds before the All-Star break. Thanks to a late surge of votes, Todd Frazier will represent Cincinnati in the National League starting lineup in the July 14th Midsummer Classic at Great American Ballpark. Manager Brian Price says Frazier's earned that right, calling him the league's best third baseman.
I feel good about this because I think he's the best third baseman in the National League, and I feel he's the most deserving to start the game. So I feel really good about this late push for him to get in and get the starting nod. But no doubt about it, it's going to be exciting to be here in Cincinnati to have Todd Frazier starting at third base and doing his thing.
Frazier is hitting .285 this season and has 25 homers and 54 RBIs. Washington Nationals star Bryce Harper won't participate in the All-Star Home Run Derby because his father isn't available to pitch to him. The Home Run Derby will be held Monday, the day before the All-Star game in Cincinnati. Harper was the leading vote-getter in fan balloting for NL starters and began play Monday, tied for second in the majors with 25 homers. Harper finished second in the 2013 Home Run Derby with his dad as the pitcher, but his father recently underwent shoulder surgery, so Harper said Monday he will skip the event. The Lexington Legends are at home tonight to take on the Asheville Tourists at Whitaker Bank Ballpark. Emilio Ogando will get the start on the hill tonight for Lexington. The 6'2 southpaw from Florida is 5-4 on the year and is looking to improve on his 2.8 ERA. The Legends are currently 6-3 on the season's second half. They sit alone atop the South Atlantic League standings, 3/100ths of a winning percentage point ahead of second place Asheville. Even though it's the middle of the summer, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is already looking ahead to the 2015-2016 season. Speaking on the recent SEC's summer teleconference, Calipari said he's already excited about his team's prospects.
Our backcourt should be one of the stronger backcourts in the country, even though we'll be very young. And our front court, you know, athletic and long and, you know, 7 foot, 6'10", 6'8", 6'9". I mean, we're our wing play with Charles and Michael, Alex getting back healthy, Marcus Lee getting his opportunity. I hate to say it, but it could be crazy again.
Calipari will again enjoy the luxury of having one of the nation's top recruiting classes to work with. Manu Ginobili says he's returning to the San Antonio Spurs for a 14th season. Ginobili made the announcement on Twitter today. The Argentinian will turn 38 later this month and is coming off of a season in which he battled several injuries. Ginobili averaged 10.5 points in 70 games, his lowest scoring average since his rookie season, but the Spurs need his experience, versatility, and playmaking to bolster the depth on a roster that is a little thin following free agency. Finally tonight in sports, Serena Williams easily defeated her sister Venus today in straight sets at Wimbledon. The younger sister looked strong throughout the match, surrendering only 4 and 3 games in the first two respective sets to Venus. Serena says she's enjoying playing against her sister.
Well, you know, you never know. It's been 6 years since we played each other. So, like I said, I was just really enjoying the moment out there. It was such a great vibe and a great situation to be in, you know, when we both were so young to dream of coming to Wimbledon. And not only did we fulfill our dreams, but we both won it 5 times. And that's pretty amazing. And so I just had an opportunity to reflect on that.
On the men's side, Roger Federer and Andy Murray both made it through to the quarterfinals, and another win for each will set up a semifinal match between the two former champions. That's it for sports. I'm Jared Wesley for MSPR.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle football will host a women's clinic on Friday, July 17th, a 7-on-7 passing camp on Saturday, July 18th, and overnight team camps from July 20th through August 5th. More information from the Eagle football office at 783-2020 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mildly lower, recovering from sharp opening losses on sell-offs in overseas markets as traders shook off concerns of contagion from the Greek debt crisis. Energy was a big loser today as WTI West Texas Intermediate crude plunged 7.7% in its second worst day of the year to settle at $52.23 a barrel. And this also amid the Iran nuclear deal negotiations, which, if settled, could result in a great deal of Iranian oil hitting the markets and possibly depressing oil prices further in the near future. And at the close, the Dow did show a modest loss of 46.53 at 17,683.58. The S&P 500 was down 8.02 at 2,068.76, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 17.27 at 4,991.94. In a Sunday referendum, as mentioned, nearly two-thirds of Greek voters voted no, rejecting a proposal from international creditors that would have required more austerity reforms for debt relief. Bond yields were lower today, with the 10-year yield near 2.3% and the 2-year yield around 0.6% as traders bid up bond prices in a flight to safety. The U.S. dollar trimmed gains to actually trade flat, with the euro at $1.10.6. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel said today after a meeting with the French President Hollande that they respect the vote of the Greeks and the door for talks with the country remains open. Even so, the other EU countries are definitely poised to try to stand firm, it would appear, to insist on Greece adopting more stringent austerity measures. European stocks were lower today, with the DAX off 1.5%, and Italy's financial markets are now in correction territory. And in Asia, the Nikkei was about 2% lower, and also the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down about 3.2%. Ahead of the unofficial start of earnings season, Ace Shulman will report results after the close today. And also, Humana agreed to be bought by rival Aetna for $37 billion in stock, and Humana shareholders will receive $125 in cash and just over 0.8 shares of Aetna stock for each share of Humana stock that's owned. Also, Seritage Growth Properties, a REIT created by retailer Sears Holdings, will begin trading or did begin trading today on the New York Stock Exchange. And Dollar Tree has received U.S. Federal Trade Commission approval to acquire rival Family Dollar stores after a nearly year-long review. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 78 cents at 121.13, CSX down 18 cents at 32.50, AEP up 30 cents at 54.53, AK Steel down 25 cents at 3.30, Marathon Petroleum up 72 cents at 54.73, and Community Trust Bank was up 10 cents to finish at 34.53. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Joshua Grandison, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Braxton Howard. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall and Ed Huckleberry, and MSU professor Chris Schrader had our commentary. This is MSPR. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News.